Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us. We also have just recently launched our new therapeutic ebook bundle. So those are all of the resources from the club in 2019 and 2020, the first year that we did the club. And there's so much information in there for you guys.
But it's all organized so you don't get overwhelmed.
Yep. So lots of the visuals and the handouts and things that we talk about in our podcast episodes we have in there. So you guys can check that out with the show notes, the link in our show notes.
Yep. Everything is linked. It's all there. So you can get it.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Sensory Project Show. This is episode 119.
All right, so a couple of weeks ago, we had an episode where we talked about ADLs, activities of daily living, and it was a pretty good episode, and we wanted to kind of expand on that episode a little bit and talk more specifically about those awkward or embarrassing topics geared more towards preteens and teenagers.
Because we deal with this a lot in person, and it can be really hard to bring up that conversation of, dude, your feet stink, or, hey, your legs are hairy, we need to shave your legs. You know, like those awkward topics that kids, you know, typically developing kids don't even want to talk about, let alone kids who have different abilities. They don't want to talk about them either. So we're going to share some strategies to help you guys with this sort of stuff.
And I like to call them, and every time I say this word, it's in air quotes, embarrassing topics. Mm-hmm. Like Rachel said, nobody wants to talk about them. But from our viewpoint as occupational therapy assistants, this is something that we address with our clients when they're the right age. So
Absolutely. The
topics that we're going to specifically talk about today are wiping, showering and deodorant, smelly feet, washing faces, nail clipping, and just, you know, that personal hygiene.
Yep. So we kind of talked about this, but why are we addressing this? And the reason is because, you know, you, the parent, you, the therapist, you don't want your kids to be stinky and dirty. And it can be really awkward to bring it up, but also it can be really challenging to motivate your child to participate in these typically non-preferred tasks.
Right. And there's so many reasons for it. You know, there's the sensory aspects, there's the strength aspects, and then the executive functioning aspects of being able to sequence these different activities.
And there's also the behavioral side of it as well. Some kids, just from a behavioral standpoint, they don't want to participate in these, and they're going to dig their heels in as long as they can.
Yeah. A lot of times it comes down to control. Like, so many of these kids don't feel like they're in control of their bodies. And so they'll have these negative reactions and refuse to do these tasks because it's the only thing they can control.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy for kids to just say, nope, I'm not going to do it. And depending on the family situation, you know, if we're pushing them, and they're going to continue to push back, or if we approach it as, you know, a team, we might have a little bit more success. So, yeah.
And we always say this, I think this is your favorite, Rachel, is empathize with them.
Yes.
Empathize with the child and let them know that, you know, their feelings are valid and their thoughts are valid, but there's still reasons why we do these things.
Absolutely. And it's okay if they don't want to, and if it makes them uncomfortable, and if they don't want to talk about it, that's okay. And there's just some modifications that we're here to help them with, and just communicating that and being open about it is going to be the easiest way to kind of get them to put their guard down and let their wall down, so that way they can participate.
Yeah. And as a therapist, you want to make sure that before you talk about these more embarrassing topics, that you have really good rapport and trust with your client and with the family, and that you can relate to them somehow. So you know, one of my favorites is to talk about how much I hate doing laundry and dishes, but I have to do it even though I don't want to. So I find ways to make it more fun and interesting. And, you know, we'll go into more detail, but that can be a good way to show your client, show your kids that we all do things that we don't want to do necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I like that. I think it's uncomfortable sometimes putting deodorant on. And so if you can share those feelings, you know, you're being honest with them. You share those honest feelings and tell them you're a human. You have a sensory system. Things are hard for you too. But like Jessica said, we still have to do it even though we don't want to because of the rules, the community rules.
Yeah, social, like the social norms.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing too is, you know, making sure that you address these issues with the parents or the caregivers, whoever's with the kiddo the majority of the time. And so that you're making sure that if you want to address your client's stinky feet, is that something that the family is willing to also work on?
Yeah, and I know I've talked about this a little bit before, but it's really, I don't know why in this time of my career it's really hit me, but, you know, we'll have a goal to work on quote unquote stinky feet, right? And working through that. But if the parents don't necessarily think that's a big challenge in their life right now, or they don't think that's where the focus should be at, they're not going to carry it over at home. And so it's really important to communicate that with the families. And then sometimes just waiting for the families to come to you and say, okay, the feet are a big problem. We got to address the feet. And then once they come to you and they've said, all right, we've got to work on this, that's when you can develop your plan. And that's when you can incorporate these strategies that we're going to talk about into your care plan.
Yes, totally. And then we always like to make sure that we are making these, you know, embarrassing, awkward topics as fun as possible. So, you know, making it humorous somehow, making jokes somehow, make it seem silly and funny so it's not so hard to talk about is really important.
Yeah, and for Jessica and I, that's kind of our treatment approach. Like that, we've talked about our therapeutic use of self, and already that's the approach that we take with our kiddos. So when we say we use humor, that's already the approach that we're taking. So it's not weird when all of a sudden we're making jokes about stinky feet and smelly armpits, because that's already how our personalities are coming out into the treatment session. So keep that in mind if you're a therapist. If you're very strict and serious and then all of a sudden you start joking about stinky feet, it doesn't quite make sense to the kiddo. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And some other good things that you can use for all of these topics we're going to talk about are social stories, positive reward charts, and visual schedules. Those are three things that we talk about using all the time because they're so beneficial.
And there's no age limit to any of these. So adults and teenagers and young adults, like everyone can benefit. And I'm sure a lot of people already use these tools, or you should be using these tools if you're not already.
Should be. Hint, hint.
Yes, let's break down each one of these rapid fire and share your tips, tricks, and strategies. Because that's why you're all here.
That's why you're here. Okay, first one, wiping.
Yes, we have talked about this in our last episode, but from a preteen to teenager standpoint, you want to make sure that you're playing games that address trunk rotation. So things like Twister, medicine ball passes, you know, setting up activities and games in the environment that require trunk rotation, maybe while they're sitting on a therapy ball, a Bosu ball, a T-stool, some sort of chair that doesn't have support for them. So they really have to work against gravity to twist their trunk.
And then you also want to work on those in-hand manipulation skills so that they can grasp and hold and fold the toilet paper. So some good activities for that would be origami. And that's a really fun one. So many kids really enjoy that. You want to do anything that is going to require palm to fingertip and fingertip to palm translation. Sometimes, a lot of times we call this squirreling with coins or beads. You could do card flipping while the wrist is stabilized on the table. Crumpling paper with just one hand can be a really fun one as well. And all of these are going to really work on those hand muscles and object manipulation skills.
Yes. And the beauty of these activities are that you don't have to tell the child that you are specifically working on the underlying skills for wiping and going to the bathroom. You don't have to bring that up at all.
The other thing too is so often these kids don't want to wipe because they are afraid of getting their hands messy. They don't like the feeling of, you know,
the potential that could happen.
that anxiety. So you can always incorporate more messy play activities that will target the tactile system. You know, doing these once a day, every other day, a couple of times a week is great. But then also let the kid wear gloves. You know, if this is really a battle that is hard, then go ahead and provide them with some modifications. Let them wear gloves. Let them use wipes, new flushable wipes instead of toilet paper. Whatever's going to help them be successful so that they can, you know, clean themselves and have good hygiene.
And feel confident about it. We want them to develop the self-esteem that they can do these things independently and they don't have to have an adult double-checking their rear end after they wipe.
Exactly. Last thing with this one, too, is depending on the kid's level, it would be really great to talk to them about why they need to wipe and clean thoroughly after going to the bathroom, talk about the health aspects, and then always talking about the social aspects of, you know, smells and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to go to school and have your bum smell. Like, that's not how we make friends, and that's not socially appropriate. I know you don't care, but other people care.
Other people care.
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's talk about showering.
Okay, so first thing that you want to incorporate, or a possible thing that you want to incorporate, is a social story. So in your social story, include why it's important to shower, how it makes others feel when you don't shower, how it makes you, the child, feel when you do or don't shower, and include tips to help. So some different strategies in the social story as well.
Mm-hmm. Incorporating the feelings and the emotions in the social story is huge, but also making sure that the kid is adding those feelings in. So you're not giving them the feelings that you think they're feeling, but allowing the child to identify the feelings independently is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. So some fun sensory modifications that you can incorporate to help facilitate increased independence with showering. Try using a shower speaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, throw some music on.
Make it a party.
I always like changing the lighting, so maybe getting different color light bulbs, using twinkle lights and hanging them up in the bathroom can be fun.
Yeah, and then have your child get on a schedule. As an adult, we go through, you know, hair washing days versus non-hair washing days, you know?
At least as women, we do.
As women, yes.
I don't know, do you guys do that too?
When Daniel had his long hair, he wouldn't wash it every time.
Did he use dry shampoo when he had long hair?
No.
Oh,
he just put it in a bandana.
Okay.
Or a hat.
All right, anyways.
So get on a schedule. You know, if hair washing is a pain in the rear end for your child, you know, specifically girls, then, you know, have a visual schedule that shows them Monday is going to be just a body wash day. Tuesday is going to be a hair wash day plus body wash day. Wednesday is just, you know, and so forth. So that way they know that every time they get in the shower, they don't necessarily have to go through the process of washing their hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that's very overwhelming for a lot of kids.
Absolutely. I also like the idea of putting a mirror in the shower.
Yes.
So that those kids who do struggle with hair washing, they can have that mirror in the shower with them. And it makes it easier for them to see if they're getting their hair fully clean.
Another thing you could try is putting a mirror on the ceiling if it permits. So that way when they tip their head back, they can see what's going on there as well. And it kind of provides them with a focal point when they're having that intense vestibular input.
Yes, totally. You could always use a timer. So if your child's like, oh, I don't want to be in the shower forever, set a timer for 5 minutes and say, okay, you're in the shower for 5 minutes, and then you can get out.
Yep. Or maybe if it's on the opposite side and they want to be in the shower for an hour, then you set that visual timer and you're like, hey, all right, we're doing a 10-minute shower today.
Yep. It really helps – with that organization piece, that executive functioning piece, to understand time and how long things should take.
Yeah, and you can always bring up the conversation of, you know, when the child needs to get ready for work in the morning when they are older, they can't take an hour-long shower because they have other things that they need to do and they can't be late for work.
Right. Or you're just going to have to get up earlier in the morning if you want to.
And pay the water bill. All right. And one more idea is you can alternate between a bath and a shower. So if your child is more impartial to taking a bath, then you can alternate the days that you take a bath and you take a shower. So that way they're learning the skills that are required for taking whichever one isn't their favorite. And, you know, there's benefits to taking both. So just switch off between the two.
Yep, easy peasy. All right, let's talk about deodorant and body odor.
Yes.
So those preteens are starting to get stinky.
Yes, and you know, you can always start by making it a rule in the house. You know, when the child gets to a certain age, you have to start putting on deodorant. And maybe before the child hits that age, you can continually talk about it and say, this is from a parent's perspective, you can say, all right, when you're 8 years old, we're going to start wearing deodorant.
Eight?
I don't know.
I think it's more like 11.
Some kids might be stinky earlier. You never know. But at least, you know, if you can get them in the routine of doing it at 8 years old, it won't be such a fight when they're 11 and sassy.
You're not wrong. So you can always try different types of deodorant. You know, there's like the regular roll-on deodorant, stick deodorant. They also have spray deodorant. Like there's all kinds of different ones nowadays.
Yeah. Have your kiddo pick out several to try. Take them to the store to try the different ones out and pick out which one looks the coolest and grab a couple.
When you can also smell them, like just open the lid and take a whiff and see if you like the smell of it too.
Mm-hmm. If it's too uncomfortable and too awkward to go into the store and try them out and test them out, if they're just feeling a little bit uncomfortable, then just try some online shopping and order a couple through Amazon.
I think that visual schedules are going to be huge for this one, and using some sort of checkoff system to remember to do deodorant, because I think oftentimes that's one of the hardest part is that memory and organization of how to fit something new into their routine mm-hmm. in the morning. And so using that visual schedule and adding the deodorant on there is going to be super helpful.
Yes. Another one is nowadays they have subscription boxes or they have subscription services for deodorant. And I will tell you, I tried one. It's called Myro, M-Y-R-O. And I don't know, there's just something about getting a package in the mail. Even though it's just deodorant, it's a cool deodorant, you know? And it's healthy and like comes in a cool container and there's all these different scents that you can just replace. So I don't know.
Everybody loves getting packages in the mail for sure.
I think maybe where it's a millennial thing. I don't know. Maybe.
It could be.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about stinky feet.
Yes.
This is a big one. I think this is more like the 8 year olds, especially like, for some reason, I think boys' feet smell worse than girls.
Yeah. I would agree. I remember, though, growing up, I went through a phase where I had stinky feet. And then it went away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, like, especially if your kid is doing, like, outdoor activities, if they're playing sports and things like that, that's a good opportunity to use to bring up the fact that their shoes are stinky and then their feet are stinky and, you know, let's get in the habit of wiping our feet off after we take our shoes off. And that's one that we've actually incorporated into therapy before. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a kiddo who has stinky feet and they're coming, you know, just laugh and say, oh man, who brought their stinky feet today? We got to take care of that. I'm going to pass out, you know, just fun stuff like that.
Yeah. You can also kind of turn it into a game and be like, hey, When was the last time you smelled your shoes? Let's smell your shoes and see if they stink and you need to clean them. Yes. And then you can also talk about how to clean mm-hmm. your shoes. And so then you can also talk about how to clean your shoes when they're too stinky. You can talk about changing your socks regularly and wearing clean socks. And I mean, that's even a good transition into like, well, do you, you know, change clean underwear every day? Like that's a whole other topic, but mm-hmm. you know, making sure that you're talking about those, how to change into clean clothes regularly.
Yeah. And if your kiddo is, you know, you haven't wanted to breach that subject with them yet, you're working on rapport, you could always do like a fun tactile activity and have them cover their feet in shaving cream, and then they have to take a wet wipe and wipe it off. And then you can talk about, you know, the before and after. Do you notice your feet? How do your feet smell now? Do you want to smell your feet? Should I smell your feet? And just that way you can kind of start the conversation that way. And it's just a silly tactile activity initially.
Yeah, totally. And man, their feet are going to smell so good after they have shaving cream.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll talk about shaving.
Yes.
So this is probably more specific towards those teen girls who are ready to like shave their armpits and shave their legs. And, you know, then obviously as the guys get older and shaving their face mm-hmm. can be kind of a whole new thing.
Yes. Now, one of my favorite things to use when we're working on shaving is a popsicle stick. And so we will do like, we'll cover different objects in shaving cream, like balloons or buckets, baseball bats, like whatever we have. And then we'll take a popsicle stick and shave it all off. And so it's just a fun way to work on like the simulated shaving without the kiddo necessarily taking a razor to their legs in therapy.
No, thanks.
Exactly.
Another good thing to talk about and to practice is going to be force modulation. How much force do you need when you're shaving? Are you going to push really hard? Are you going to push really light? Mm-hmm. And so working on some different activities to practice that force modulation would be good. And then also, I mean, you're going to be using shaving cream when you shave, or you're using some sort of gel or cream when you're shaving. So then you also want to work on some of that tactile processing as well.
Yes. Going along with that, trying out different types of razors. I've heard good things about the Billy razors. And then I've also, like, I feel like it would be easier to just use the razor that has the soap built into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's what I use, and it makes it so easy to just mm-hmm. zoop, 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 and it's quick and it doesn't take as many steps. So for kiddos who maybe struggle with the executive functioning side of things, taking that step of applying shaving cream, taking that away, that can be helpful by using one of those types of razors.
Yes, totally. Let's talk, we've got a couple more. Talk about washing your face. As your kids are getting a little bit older, they want to start, you know, washing all the oil and dirt off their face. So you can try using just regular face wash, but if they're really struggling with, you know, splashing water on their face, maybe try using a wipe or using like a cloth to get all the soap off and wash with instead of that water being everywhere.
Yes. And now you can get the wipes that have more of the like salicylic acid, the like acne wipes, but those ones are really strong. And, you know, your kid can have adverse reactions to those. So maybe just the like makeup removing wipes to start, you know, those ones are they're like baby wipes, right? So you can always do a simulated activity with this one during therapy by putting, you know, maybe shaving cream all over the child's face or some sort of tactile medium, and then having them wipe it off with some sort of wet wipe. So that way they're practicing and they're getting that tactile input as well. And they realize how much force they need and how many times they actually have to wipe their face to make sure that they get all of the residue off.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about nail clipping. This is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that so many kids struggle with. They don't want their nails clipped, and it can be due to like they don't like the sound They don't like the feeling. I think that's probably the most common, is they don't like how it feels. And so many of our kids are, you know, tactile defensive. And so, man, it almost feels like it hurts when their nails get clipped.
And it's like a part of them is getting cut off. You know, it's kind of like hair cutting. They just feel like you're cutting a piece of their body off. And they're like, I don't understand.
So one of the best strategies would be after bath time or after shower would be the best time to clip the nails, because they get a little bit soft from the water. Or you could even do like a, what is it, like a hand soak? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah. Like yeah, a you could do manicure or a pedicure or something like that.
Yeah, one of those little soaker thingies makes your nails a little bit softer, and then you can clip them and it's not as harsh.
Yes. And then you can always try finding some modified nail clippers that have a built-up handle for improving the grasp if you're trying to teach that independence to your child. Because so many nail clippers, they'll like slip out of your hands, and they're metal and they're uncomfortable. So there are some nail clippers that have the built-up handles, but if you can't find any or you don't have any, just use like gauze or what's the wrap? Coban wrap. To wrap it around the handles.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, continuing on with the tactile system, just incorporating more tactile activities throughout the day to address that tactile system. If they don't like the sound of the nails being clipped, you can play music, use noise canceling headphones, the listening program, all those things.
Definitely. And for those kiddos who have dirty nails or dirt under their nails, then make it a habit, add it to their visual schedule to use a fingernail brush and clean under their nails. That just get them in the habit of every morning or every night before they go to bed. That's just on their visual schedule, and that's one thing that they need to do, like putting deodorant on.
Exactly. All right, one more, you guys. Using sunscreen or lotion. This actually came from an Instagram message. Somebody sent us a message about a kiddo who was struggling to tolerate wearing sunscreen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this one's doesn't really fall into the same category as awkward and embarrassing, but we're adding it in here because we are podcast DJs and we'll talk about whatever you want us to talk about. So, tactile system again, you guys. Get that tactile system working with different messy play activities.
Yes. One other thing that you could try is nowadays they have those mitts or those gloves that you apply self-tanner with. You can just have your kiddo use that on one hand, or a glove, some sort of barrier to have them put the lotion on that way. But we want to train them to have them do it themselves. We don't want to just consistently do it for them, because number one, they're never going to learn, and number two, they're never going to have to like modulate that tactile input that's non-preferred. So provide the tools that allow them to modify it so they can do it independently. And honestly, whatever they need in order to do it independently, we call it modified independence. Yes. Give it to them. Just take your guard down, take your wall down, just make it happen.
I think too, nowadays there's so many different types of lotions, there's so many different types of sunscreen that you can really experiment with different kinds, and you can get different ones that maybe don't feel as greasy afterwards. They, you know, are more dry, and so maybe your child likes that feeling better than the greasier ones. Mm-hmm. So get different ones to try and experiment with as well.
Yeah, try the spray lotions, try the gel lotions, try the lotions. There's so many these days.
There are.
And then one other thing that you can try for therapists, you can do the deep pressure brushing protocol before working on this during your sessions. And if you can, you know, if you're trained in it, you can teach the family members how to do it. And that way they can incorporate into their daily routine to help desensitize and regulate that tactile system.
Totally. Well, hopefully you guys got some good ideas, some new ideas to try. One thing at a time, though. Don't try all the things at once. Keep it simple. One thing at a time.
I agree. And, you know, just keep it light, keep it humorous, keep it fun, keep it motivating, use visuals, and be consistent.
Yes, consistency is key.
And if you guys have any other questions on topics like these, don't hesitate to send us a message on Instagram at The Sensory Project Show. We'd love to chat with you.
We'd also love it if you would leave us a review.
Yes, we would. So feel free to hop on over to iTunes and do that.
And we would also love it if you would come back and listen next time.
All right, you guys. On that note, we will chat with you next week. We are so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.